Coming up on this episode of The Doctor's Pharmacy.
Where I'm going with the patients that I'm seeing at this point in time with post-COVID syndrome, and I've got a number of them now, is really focusing on immune activation, using mushrooms, using those kinds of things to help support their immune system to reactivate it, as well as mitochondrial support.
Hey everyone, it's Dr. Mark. And over the years, I've learned that I have to be an active participant in creating my own happiness. But sometimes life can get crazy and it can be really easy to lose sight of how to do that. And that's why it's so important to ask for help. Stop and ask yourself, what is preventing you from being happy and achieving your goals? Now, most of us can list at least a couple of things. And compound that with increasing social isolation and loneliness, and you have an epidemic of anxiety and depression. Sometimes we really just need personal support to talk through bigger issues and realize why we aren't alone. Mental wellness should be a priority for all of us, especially right now, which is why I'm such an advocate of our sponsor, BetterHelp. Now, it's time to break down the stigma of caring for mental health and make it something easy to talk about and seek help for. BetterHelp does exactly that. It's an app that lets you get affordable counseling anytime from anywhere in the world. They'll match you with a licensed professional therapist based on your unique needs, and you can do all your sessions online securely from your own home. With BetterHelp, you can start communicating with a counselor in under 24 hours and then send them a message anytime and schedule weekly video or phone consultations. If you feel like you aren't a good match, you can easily switch to someone else. The licensed counselors at BetterHelp specialize in everything from anxiety and depression to grief, LGBTQ matters, relationships, sleep, trauma, self-esteem, and so much more. We all deserve to live our happiest lives. Asking for help makes you an active part of that process. As part of the Doctor's Pharmacy community, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/Dr. Hyman. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/Dr. Hyman. That's Dr. Hyman. None of us have to suffer through hard times alone, and BetterHelp makes it easy to feel heard and supported. Now let's get back to this week's episode of The Doctor's Pharmacy.
Hi, I'm Kea, one of the producers of The Doctor's Pharmacy podcast. Most of us are now familiar with post-COVID syndrome or long hauler syndrome, in which patients who have had COVID-19 experience lingering or long-lasting symptoms. Dr. Hyman recently spoke with two of his colleagues about how they are approaching the treatment of these patients. Here he is with Dr. Patrick Hanaway.
All right, so let's say someone gets COVID, they recover, and we're seeing this phenomena. And in up to 87% of hospitalized patients, so it's probably less if you're not hospitalized, but I see this in many of my patients who are not hospitalized, who get what we're calling post-COVID syndrome or long hauler syndrome. And it's very reminiscent of what happened with Epstein-Barr and chronic fatigue syndrome. In fact, SARS, the original SARS, 40% of those who survived at 3 years had chronic fatigue syndrome. And that's a staggering number. So what is the functional medicine approach to looking and dealing with this post-COVID syndrome, and what's the recovery model?
These people who are having, let's say, the post-COVID syndrome, they have other underlying issues that are going on. They have other underlying triggers, and it may be related to, you know, heavy metal toxins or organotoxins or mycotoxins or hidden infections or antigens or celiac disease or some other process that's going on that has to be taken care of and looked at also. It's not like you're just going to treat the post-COVID separate from everything else that's going on in their body.
That's right.
And so we've got to dig in to what is the root source. And, you know, the way I think about it is, you know, I talk about, you know, those roots of the tree, which are the intrinsic aspects of our lifestyle, but then there's the soil, right? It's the exposome. If you're exposing the roots of the tree to poor soil, you're not going to be able to get healthy. And that's where we want to bring our focus.
Absolutely. I mean, what you're bringing up, Patrick, is really important, is that the body is a system, and there are a lot of things that perturb or disturb the function of that system. And functional medicine is about finding out what those things are that disturb function. What are those things that optimize and enhance function, and getting rid of the things that are making your machinery gummed up, and providing the things that help you run optimally. And I think that's a very unique model. It's not something that we learned in medical school, but it is really the foundation of functional medicine. And it's super powerful for all sorts of things. And I believe that this is where
functional medicine will shine as we start to see millions of people with post-COVID syndrome.
Whether we're working on someone where we're trying to prevent them from having a severe illness or treating them for post-COVID syndrome, you know, or working with them at any point in severity, the approaches are actually similar. The specifics change, but the approach is the same. And that is what we're working to do is work with the system of what's happening with the gut microbiome and how it informs the immune system. What's happening with the activation of the cytokines and the overall inflammatory response process that's going on. What's happening in relationship to the exposome and risk factors that you have? What's happening with metabolic health in terms of the ability of the virus to be able to attach to the receptor in the first place? Taking all of these things into consideration, we start looking at risk. And so from a nutritional standpoint, we're saying, well, what can we do to mitigate risk of, as you said, of obesity, of metabolic syndrome, and work with that? You know, the kinds of approaches of beautiful paper by Deanna Minnick that I helped her out with, you know, goes into all of that. And we talk about, you know, what ends up coming down to what looks like a low carb Mediterranean diet. You might call it a vegan diet. You know, it's like it's that kind of approach that's going to help our overall metabolic health and well-being. One of the things where I think one of the key impacts of the SARS-CoV-2 virus is actually on mitochondrial health and well-being. You know, and we see the changes in the mitochondria and the ability to produce energy, you know, being significantly impacted. Now, whether that is a direct effect from the SARS-CoV-2 virus or it's a side effect or a sequelae from the hyperinflammation that's going on, we see that being affected. And we see that also in so-called post-COVID syndrome or working with long haulers. Now, interesting to me that when we look at places like Mount Sinai and other that are setting up academic centers for this, they're thinking about it as we have a vascular problem, you have a pulmonary problem, you have a GI problem, you have a cardiac problem, you have a neurologic problem, you have a psychiatric problem. And I look at it and I'm saying like, well, gosh, there's muscle problems and there's cardiac problems and there's brain problems. And gosh, those are the three places that use the most energy in the body. Maybe this is related to the mitochondria. So when you start talking about, you know, other kinds of outside the box therapies, ozone and things of that nature, you know, that are not, that there are experimental, they've done some interesting studies in Italy early on looking at that. But to me, that they're working on the, antioxidant capacity and improving the efficiency of the mitochondria so that there's energy production. And we know that mitochondrial health and immune health are intimately related to each other. So here we are talking about, you know, for instance, those IV nutrients of vitamin C and NAC and glutathione that are all going to have an impact mitochondrially. They're all going to have an impact on oxidative stress. You know, it's a similar constellation of things that may actually be used, you know, for cancer and for cancer scavenging in terms of IV vitamin C. So it's fascinating there. But, you know, with the post-COVID piece, I'm really focusing on mitochondrial function and being able to mobilize and feel like that's really where the essential aspect of it is, which, as you said, is not dissimilar from the Epstein-Barr virus work from the mid-80s with Paul Cheney and others in terms of, well, what do we do? How do we actually help those people who have some kind of post-viral fatigue syndrome? And where I'm going with the patients that I'm seeing at this point in time with post-COVID syndrome, and I've got a number of them now, is really focusing on immune activation, using mushrooms, using those kinds of things to help support their immune system to reactivate it, as well as mitochondrial support, and whether that's NAD, your various vitamins, N-acetylcysteine, CoQ10, you know, there's a whole array of different components that get built into that, phosphatidylserine and others. And so I use products that are really focusing on that PQQ as well as CoQ10 and CoQ2. And so I come back to the dietary aspects, really ensure that there's not high glycemic foods, you know, no processed foods, and focusing on good fats and good pure amino acids, clean amino acids, or proteins that people are taking, you know, doing that, and then focusing on the immune system and the mitochondria. That's where I go.
I do believe that it's going to be a combination of foundational lifestyle therapies, diet, exercise, sleep, relaxation, stress reduction, and then all the same nutraceuticals that you do to prevent and treat it. And then for people that get stuck, I think there are adjunctive therapies like intravenous therapies of IV NAD, IV vitamin C, IV glutathione, phosphatidylcholine, and even things like ozone can be extremely effective intravenously. There's also peptides and exosomes and a whole category of things that are used to help people break the cycle. And I've seen these therapies work in a number of patients. So I'm hopeful. I think there needs to be more research on this. We need to move forward. The challenge is that I don't think that many people are funding any research on this, because it's not like at the end there's a product or a drug or a vaccine that's going to make billions of dollars. So we're kind of stuck. But I do believe that these therapies are out there now, that they're available, that there's enough evidence to create a rationale for their use, and that they're safe and potentially very effective.
Dr. Hyman also spoke to Dr. Matt Cook, who is using many of these therapies to treat his patients.
For post-COVID, I think I break it down into two categories, whether people are remote or whether they're in person. If they're remote, I have everybody taking this peptide, thymosin alpha-1. And I'm having people, if they've had COVID, take this peptide for 3 to 6 months. And I'm noticing people
every day.
And so when they do that, people tell me, God, I feel a lot better. And I've had a lot of people remote that had a lot of symptoms. And then they start taking, it's just a little insulin syringe. And they just inject like a tenth of a cc every day. And when they inject this tiny amount of fluid, it starts to regulate their immune system. And I'm seeing it help basically almost all post-COVID symptoms. And so,
is this kind of thing good for you to go with Lyme?
It turns out it's also really good for Lyme. It's also, I put everybody that has SIBO and leaky gut and GI inflammation on it. And so it's kind of an all-purpose worker horse peptide that turns out to be great for for prophylaxis to prevent from getting COVID. And so anybody that, if one person in the house gets COVID, I put everybody else in the house
on this peptide.
If you have it acutely, it helps. And there's different dosing that we do depending on whether you have an acute or you don't. And then finally, for these long haulers, these people that have this COVID for a long time, we're doing that. And it's been really, really helpful. I like other peptides also. I like thymosin beta 4, which is also really good for regulating the immune system. Mm-hmm. And I like BPC-157, but not for everybody. And there's some issues with that. Yeah. But
there's a whole list of these different peptides are used for all kinds of different things. And I think that, you know, this is really an interesting emerging field of medical therapy. So what do you do for people who are here in the office that you see have post-COVID, and how are they doing with the treatments?
So my feeling on this is interesting, is that everything that works for pre-COVID and everything that works for treating acute COVID works for the long haulers.
Exactly, right.
Yeah, so ozone, probably number one. Vitamin C, glutathione.
Intravenous
ozone. There's a vitamin called NAD, which seems to stimulate your mitochondria, and it's a ubiquitous molecule in the body that has all, it's basically a signal of your energy stores.
Yeah.
And so we use that. And interestingly, one of the first things that happens when you start treating people with NAD is their vascular health starts to improve.
Amazing.
And the reason is that cells love NAD because it's like money to a cell.
Yeah.
And so it represents potential energy. Mm-hmm. And so then if you put a molecule in a vein, the first thing that's going to happen is it's going to try to diffuse out of that vein. Mm. And then when it tries to diffuse out of the vein, it's going to get absorbed by the cells that line your vein and artery. Mm. And so then what happens is you improve the health of those cells. Mm. So I have a lot of people that come with vascular problems, and I start doing NAD and they get better. Well, guess where COVID goes? To your blood vessels. Mm. And that's why people have so many problems with their heart or their kidney or their brain, because it's inflammation in the blood vessels, and then it can leak out and then get into the nerves, which is why we're trying to put something in the blood vessel, whether that be ozone, whether that be vitamin C, whether that be glutathione, whether it be NAD. I've submitted a IND for exosomes to like the FDA.
Research proposal.
Yeah, research proposal. And so we're going back, we're on our
exosomes.
Really
helpful for.
Yeah, we're going to do a randomized clinical trial with exosomes for COVID.
Amazing.
And so I think we're going to get approved in the next day or two. We're like two or three rounds deep with the FDA, just going back and forth.
That's
with
incredible.
The PhDs.
So there's a whole realm of medicine out there that is just emerging over the last few decades that is still on the margins that you and I are in. Right. In places like Cleveland Clinic, they've introduced functional medicine. They're starting to do this more and more in different healthcare centers and hospitals mm-hmm. around the country. But you know, it's unfortunate because people really have trouble accessing this. But I think the work you're doing, the stuff we've done at Cleveland Clinic that I've tried to do over the years, is really trying to break ground so this is more accessible for everybody. Because ultimately, it has to be covered by insurance. It has to be accessible. The cost has to come down.
Right.
And it has to be something that people can get access to. Right now, it's hard. But I think people should have hope. And there's a lot of stuff they can do that isn't that expensive. Diet, lifestyle issues, sleep, exercise, the right supplements. And even some IV treatments may not be that expensive. So I think there's ways to get yourself healthy in this time that people really need to focus on. And the challenge for us is that, you know, we just go about our lives, we're busy and this and that, but now more than ever, people need to think about their personal health, not just for themselves, but for their family, their communities, for their society, and really the world, because we're really facing this pandemic that's not going away, and we need to be smart about how do we protect ourselves and make us more resilient in the face of it.
Functional medicine is the science of creating health and resilience and making your system an inhospitable place for disease. In every infection, there are two factors at play, the microbe and the host. While we can't control the microbe, we do have extraordinary control over us, the host. If you'd like to learn more about anything you heard today, I encourage you to check out Dr. Hyman's full-length conversations with Drs. Patrick Canaway and Matt Cook. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider sharing it with a friend and leaving us a review below. Until next time.